Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Edge Boost. Edge Boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge to get started today. We're also brought to you by Bird Dog Shorts. The world's greatest shorts are hooking you up with a free Yeti-style tumbler when you order over at birddogs.com/pool. That's birddogs.com/pool.
Hello, Gen Renos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 364. I think I've sent one out to her before. It's going to go out to Mrs. Daniel Vreeland, who I've been told recently is a saint. So this goes out to her. And she puts good pictures of the dogs and the kids. And no pictures of Dan, usually, on the IG. So I appreciate that. Thanks for coming to the show. I am not Dan or Mrs. Vreeland. I am Jeff Chalks Fox. I went back to my chalky ways a little bit last episode. I did get in on a few underdogs with my co-host here who never has seen a dog that he doesn't like. It's the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I've seen a couple. I think we talked about a couple last week that I thought were pretty terrible. Or last episode that were pretty terrible. But I did get down on with four. So for those of you who haven't listened to the prelim episode, go back and listen to me get down with four dogs.
Yep, there you go. That's how Gumby rolls. He's got two dogs at home and then four dogs in the gambling sphere. So, all right, we got the main card. Any issues making picks on the main card at all? I had some issues with the prelims. I don't think the main card, maybe one or two fights I kind of had to dig a little deep for, but the rest seemed pretty obvious to me.
Yeah, I there were a couple I thought back and forth on, but usually I was coming back right around where my original opinion was.
Yeah, I shouldn't say obvious because that pick will probably lose the obvious picks. And I think I'm going to be on different sides than Gumby on at least one of the ones I'm claiming are an obvious pick. So there you go on that. Any wacky lines before we jump into it?
I mean, just not that it's wacky, but Arman Tsarukyan being a negative 1,000 favorite, it's a lot of fun to talk about.
Yeah. Can't wait to just wait. We have a minus 1,000 favorite that we're both going to probably pick coming up. So you just wait. It's going to be fun. A lot of money to be had. Maybe we can find a way to make some money off that fight. You think we can make money off that fight somehow?
Yeah, well, Yeah, there's no good angle on it.
Is there a clear path to victory? No, there's not. Because, like, Tsarukyan wins every way. Knockout, submission, and decision. So there's, like, no. Oh, yeah, yeah. Anyhow, we're going to talk about it anyhow, people. Maybe you can make an Armenian parlay like our friend Ryan, who I seem to be talking about every episode now.
Yeah. He's getting a lot of play this week.
Yes, because it's Armenian week in the UFC. So, all right, we should probably jump in. We got six fights, and then we have all our fancy picks at the end. So make sure you stick around right to the very end. After I tell you about Edge Boost, because this episode is supported by Edge Boost. Edge Boost is the world's first bet now, pay later Visa card. Edge currently offers up to $2,500 in betting advances, which can be an extremely valuable tool. Imagine what you can do with an increased bankroll. Get down on some of your favorite futures without tying up your bankroll for months. That's what you can do. Double down on a favorite bet you like, or even use it to create an awesome middle or even a hedge. Edge Boost isn't some sleazy loan shark, as they charge zero interest Do you know of a way you can access more money to place on your favorite bets without paying any interest other than robbing a bank or something like that? Probably not. EdgeWiz can also be part of a responsible gambling plan. Robbing banks, not responsible. Because you can set up daily, weekly, and monthly limits across all your betting accounts in one place. That would be EdgeBoost. So support SGPN and grow your bankroll. Two wins right there by going to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge, E-D-G-E, to sign up at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge. Must be 21 years or older to use. Problem gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Not Gambler, like in The Simpsons, when Marge got taken over by Gambler. All right. UFC on ESPN. Vettori versus Cannonier, a.k.a. UFC Fight Night. Vettori versus Cannonier, a.k.a. UFC Vegas 75, I believe. June 17th to Saturday, UFC Apex. Did the prelims last episode. If you haven't listened, go back. This is the main card on ESPN, ESPN Plus, just like the prelims. Main card is starting at 9 p.m. Eastern. And the first fight we will see will be a welterweight clash, unless something happens before the card takes place. Right now, it's scheduled to be Nicholas Dalby versus the Muslim Salikov, like I said, at 170 pounds, welterweight. Can tell you about Dalby first. Lokomotivo is the nickname. 21-4-1 with two no contests. Six knockouts, four submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 5-3-1 with one no contest in the UFC over two stints. He's won two straight fights. He was the Cage Warriors champion. He also has multiple retail championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the t-shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2010 pro MMA debut. He also is a pro kickboxer. 4 inches reach on Salikov. More active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.39 strikes a minute. He's at plus 163. The king of kung fu is back, Muslim Salikov. 19-3, 13 knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. So he's been finishing all his losses. 6-2 in the UFC. He's won six of his last seven, including his last fight via TKO. He's fight down, up at middleweight, 2011 pro MMA debut. He's a Sanda champion, an Olympic gold medalist in that, but it wasn't the official sport at the time. Also pro kickboxer, striking and grappling stats better than Dalby. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.87 strikes a minute. He's at plus 188. I tend to kick off the main cards. Give me the king of kung fu. We faded him last fight. He bit us on that because he looked like his old self again last fight. Fight before that, he looked just old, not his old self. So give me Salikov, better striker, more dangerous striker, has fought better competition. So give me the king of kung fu at minus 188.
I'm gonna take Salikov as well. I was a little bit worried about the durability of Nicholas Dalby because he is so durable, right? Like, he's a hard dude to put away. And with Salikov being a guy who, I mean, he definitely fades late in the fight. That's just a given. But he's also a guy who, like, can pull a really explosive punch or a really explosive kick out of nowhere when he, like, needs it most. So, like, that gives me a little bit more hope that he'll be all right in this fight. And I think he's going to be out to a massive lead, too. That's the other thing is I think Dalby's not going to start fast enough to give him any real trouble. So, I like Salikov here as well.
All right. Yeah, Dalby, never been finished. He's got 28 fights. So, yes, he is very hard to put away, as Dan said. All right. We're going with the king of kung fu. I'm surprised. I had a feeling you were going to take Dalby, but I'm glad you're not. Lightweights, Manuel Torres versus Nicolas Mota. I will tell you about Iron Mota first. 13-4 with 9 knockouts. 3 knockouts, 1 submission against him. So he's been finishing all 4 of his losses. 1-1 in the UFC. He's won 4 of his last 5, including his last fight, which he won via TKO. 1-0 in the Contender Series. 1-1 on the Ultimate Fighter. Used to fight at featherweight. Was a regional champion. 2012 pro MMA debut. He's been outstruck over his Contender Series and UFC fights by 1.18 strikes a minute. Plus 155 is the number coming back on him. Excuse me, El Loco Torres, 13-2, 6 knockouts, 6 submissions, very well rounded. He's been submitted twice, so he's been finished in both his losses as well. 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's won 4 straight fights and 5 of 6. He's won 6 straight fights via finish. He's not fought since May of 2022. He used to fight up at featherweight. Regional champion, inch taller than Mota, 3 inches of reach, 2 years younger, striking stats in his favor, and he's 3 times more active landing strikes based off their UFC and Contender Series fights. He's outstruck his opponents by 6.76 strikes a minute. He's at minus 175. Go ahead.
I'm going to go dog here with Nicholas Mota.
Me too.
Really?
Tell the people why. Yeah, I am.
I mean, like, if you watch that fight that brought him to the UFC, Manuel Torres, he just stands right in front of people. And you know, like you mentioned, he's got really good numbers when it comes to, you know, landing strikes and having more, you know, more success, quote unquote, on the feet. But he's also one of those people, if you watch that fight with Frank Camacho, he throws his punches and then he kind of like watches his home run. You know what I mean? Like he's one of those guys who's like pimping a home run on every punch he throws. And he's just there to be hit on the return. He also sometimes gets to the point where his feet are, you know, like he's standing square to his opponent because he just throws so many strikes in a row that his legs don't reset really well. And I think he thinks he's landing better than he actually is. And a lot of times there were times that Camacho had his guard up and he was just punching gloves or punching forearms or something like that. But like he was just building on it. Like he kept trying to throw more and more punches in the combination because I think he thought he had him hurt. And yeah, he did wind up finishing Frank Camacho, so props to him on that. But you know, Mota's a guy with great counters. He himself is very quick on the feet. I think he can give a lot of people trouble. You know, Mota, I think, caught a little bit of a bad rap because he got knocked out by Jim Miller in that first fight. But after that, he looked really good against Cameron Van Camp. Now, this is obviously somewhere in between those two. But, you know, if you want to go back, this is a guy who knocked out Joe Selecki and has dealt with guys who, you know, are free throwers in the past. Like he's fought some pretty good dudes in CFFC who just kind of throw those hands too. And he's done a good job of countering them. So I think as long as he stays away from the big punch of Torres, I think he's going to be the fresher fighter late in the fight. And also I think there's just a good chance he catches him with a counter early.
Yeah, I like, we didn't even talk about the resume. Mota's fought a lot. Well, you mentioned Jim Miller. He's fought a lot better opponents than Torres has. And he can crack 9 knockouts out of 13 wins. So, yeah, I like the dog money here. We're in on the same dog again. I like it. I like it. Should we move on to the next fight, perhaps? What is that? Is that featherweight? It is Pat Sabatini versus Lucas Almeida. Almeida, 14-1, 9 knockouts, 5 submissions. So he's finished all of his wins. He himself has never been finished. He's 1-0 in the UFC, 2-0 over his last 2 fights, both via finishes. June 22nd, he's not fought since, so he's been out of the cage for just over a year now. 0-1 on the Contender Series, multiple championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamingpodcast.com/store. Use fight at lightweight and welterweight, 3 inches taller than Sabatini, an inch or each. 4 times more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by almost a strike a minute. He's at +97 strikes per minute. He's at +163 is the number on Almeida. Sabatini, 17-4, 2 knockouts, 10 submissions, been knocked out twice. 4-1 in the UFC, 6-1 over his last 7, but he did lose his last fight via TKO. He was the twice he was the champion in CFFC. He's a pro grappler. He has better striking and grappling stats than Almeida. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.17 strikes a minute, -185. And it is me, Sabatini, bounce back fight for him. I think he's going to get it done. Usually I go striker over grappler, but I think he's just better than Almeida. And it's a wise person said Almeida's probably being a little, is probably a little overhyped at this point, even though maybe the betting line doesn't show up. But I think Sabatini's going to take care of it here.
Yeah, I think the betting line is overhyping him still because I think this is a great line on Sabatini. I think his wrestling is more than enough to get it done here against Almeida, especially because like Almeida had a little bit of trouble grappling with Daniel Zellhuber on Contender Series. I don't know if you remember that. He actually lost on Contender Series against Daniel Zellhuber. And Zellhuber is a good fighter, but he's not a grappler. He's a striker. And so for Zellhuber to have such issues, or Almeida have such issues with Zellhuber on the ground, man, dude, if you're getting taken down by Daniel Zellhuber, I got some bad news for you against Pat Sabatini. That dude is going to tear you apart on the mat. We don't pick against Daniel Gracie, guys. No. Remember that. Actually, I have a spoiler alert for you. I might be picking against the Daniel Gracie guy in the near future, but don't tell anybody.
Dear.
Yeah, don't tell anybody, but it ain't today.
It ain't today, no. Sabatini is both our picks for this fight for sure. Let's move to middleweights now, shall we? It is one of the Armenians, Armin Petrosian versus Christian Leroy Duncan. Petrosian is Superman. He's 7-2 with 5 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 2-1 in the UFC. He's gone win, loss, win over his UFC career. One known in the contender series, multiple reach of the championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. There, last time we're going to say it this episode. Used to fight at light heavyweight. He's got an inch of height over Duncan. More active landing strikes. Better grappling stats as well over based on Duncan's one UFC fight. Petrosian has outstruck his UFC opponents and contender series opponents by 3.24 strikes a minute. So very high number there. Plus 126. CLD is Christian Leroy Duncan's nickname. Not cool. He's 8-0, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 1-0 in the UFC. He's won 4 straight fights via finish. He was Cage Warriors champion. 8 inches of reach on Petrosian, 5 years younger than him. He outstruck his UFC opponent, his one UFC opponent, by 2.68 strikes a minute, minus 150. Number on the Brit. Go ahead.
I watched both of these guys. I watched back some of their fights to be like, you know, I remember both of them looking good on the feet. I remember Petrosian maybe being a little bit more technical. I remember Duncan being a little bit more powerful. So I watched to be like, you know, is there a chance he lands that power? And then I was like, Petrosian kind of throws his hooks in tight. He doesn't look like he's making good use of his reach. It seems like Duncan has. And then I was like, I wonder what their reach difference is. Because if one guy's using the reach well and he's got a couple inches of advantage, maybe we'll go with that guy. And then I looked up the reach advantage and I was like, 8 inches. So we got a guy who uses his reach well and is going to have an 8-inch reach advantage, and a guy who's, you know, mostly keeping his hooks tight to his body, and as a result is fighting much shorter than he actually is in Petrosian. And I was like, man, that's a recipe for disaster. So, you know, I think Petrosian, if he can get inside in this fight, has a chance. But I will tell you, I like Christian Leroy Duncan here. That reach advantage, and you know me, I'm not a reach advantage guy when we're talking about fights. But when you watch a guy fight and you're like, that dude has got better use of his reach and better power, right? Like, if Petrosian tries to get on the inside, he's going to have to deal with some long arms first and long arms that can put him away. So, yeah, I like Duncan here.
Yeah, sorry, Ryan. I like him as well. I'm glad Gumby's on the same page as me. So Christian Leroy Duncan is the pick. Way bigger, younger. This will probably be more than likely be a striking battle. And Gumby just told you why we like him to win. We also like Bird Dogs because Bird Dogs make you look good. What more reason do we have than that? Bird Dogs stretch khaki shorts. That's what I'm talking about. They're designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. They fit way better than the regular shorts that are made of stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs fix this issue of the cotton issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dogs uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. Who needs some Bird Dog shorts in MMA, Dan? Jarzynia Rozenstruik's the first person that comes to mind.
Yes, because he's got a lot of junk in his trunk.
Yes, and it would slim him. If you're Jarzynia Rozenstruik or anyone else, you can go to birddogs.com/pool and enter promo code POOL for a free Yeti style tumbler with your order. That's Bird Dogs, the birddogs.com/pool, POOL, for a free Yeti style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you. All right.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Co-main event time. The other Armenian lightweights, Armin Sarukian versus Joachim Silva. This is one with the silly odds in it. Silva Neto BJJ is the nickname. He's just naming a name of a BJJ place. How's that a nickname?
It's his BJJ place, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I know, but still. I guess good advertising, right? He is 12-3, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. 5-3 in the UFC. 1-2 over his last 3 fights. 2-3 over his last 5. Won his last fight via TKO. 2-1 the Ultimate Fighter. 2010 pro MMA debut. Inch taller than Sarukian. More active landing strikes. However, he's been outstruck in the UFC by half a strike a minute, plus 700. Sarukian, his nickname's Alcoholics, right? He's an alcoholic. That's his nickname, right?
Oh, it's that Alcoholic. Oh, man, I'm going to say it wrong.
Alcoholics. It's a place in Georgia, right?
Is it? Is it a place in Georgia? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think so.
In Georgia or Armenia?
No, he's from Georgia, but Ryan's claiming him as Armenian, right?
Well, I mean, he is Armenian. He's Armenian nationality because he's got the name, or you know, of ethnicity because he's got the name Sarukian. You don't get that name from Georgia,
right? No, that's where he's from. He's from Akalakilaki in Georgia is where he's from. So
right on,
a suburb of Atlanta, I think, or Savannah. all right, Sarukian, 19-3,
lots of good waffle houses. Good waffle houses.
Lots of good waffle houses. Sarukian is 19-3, 7 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out once, the only time he's been stopped in 22 fights. 6-2 in the UFC. He's won 6 of his last 7, including his last fight. He's missed weight before, so you may want to keep an eye on that. Was a regional champion. He's fight at featherweight. 3 inches of reach on Silva, 7 years younger. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.63 strikes a minute. Minus 1,000. All right, we're going to take Sarukian, Dan, but we need to tell people why. Like, what are we doing in this fight? We're not betting it.
No, we're not betting it. And I will just say, yeah, I've been trying to find an angle to bet it too. But like, you know, Silva's got good jujitsu. So I don't know that he's going to get subbed. Sarukian, you know, I will say this. I love Sarukian's chance to win this by like ground and pound or even outstriking him. But like, there's also some people he probably should have finished that he hasn't. You know, like he should have finished Davi Amos, right? And Davi Hamosh just kind of feels like Joachim Silva here. He's a jiu-jitsu first guy with subpar boxing, and that fight went to decision. So I could see him winning with just like 14 and a half minutes of control time too. But also I could see him ground and pounding him out like he did Yoel Alvarez, which, you know, ultimately catapulted him in this division. So I don't say this often. I think this fight is altogether a pass fight. I think if you're looking for a way to win money on this fight, you want so badly to be in on it, set up a daily fantasy lineup and make sure you get Armin Sarukian in it, because he's going to score a lot of points regardless of, you know, whether he just decides to grind him out for a decision and get 15 minutes of control time or if he finishes him. But yeah, like there's no real good angle to bet here unless you find, like, I don't know, you want to find props on takedowns. You know, like over 5, maybe over 4.5. Sure.
If you really need to bet this fight, 1-800-GAMBLER is what you should do, right?
Yeah, that's always a good tip.
Yep. All right. Main event time. This fight is probably has decent enough lines to bet on. It's almost a pick 'em, or pretty much a pick 'em. It's middleweights, 5 rounds. Marvin Vettori versus Jared Cannonier. I will tell you about the Italian dream. Vittoria first, 19-6-1, 2 knockouts, 9 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 9-4-1 in the UFC. Loss, win is his pattern over the last 4. Used to fight up at light heavyweight and down at welterweight, was regional champion, has missed weight, did miss weight at welterweight, but now he's middleweight. Don't worry about that. 2012 pro MMA debut, inch of height over Cannonier, 9 years younger, more active landing strikes and better grappling stats than Cannonier. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.73 strikes a minute. Even money on him. as this recording, plus 100. The Kayla Gorilla Cannonier, 16-6, 10 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, 9-6 in the UFC. 3-1 over his last 4, including winning his last fight. He's fought at heavyweight and light heavyweight. Was a regional champion, 2011 Pro MMA debut, 3 inches reach on Vittori. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.14 strikes a minute, minus 110. Now Gumby gets to do the main event first.
Yeah, I'm going to take Cannonier here. I think, and I kind of laid it out. If you've been in our Discord, you can get my picks early occasionally if you tempt me to talk about something, as the guys in the Discord did on, I believe it was on Tuesday. They got me talking about this fight, and you know, I pretty much revealed my side right away. I think, first of all, if you're in on Vittori, wait. The money's coming in on Cannonier right now. Your line will get better on Vittori than even money. By the time Friday or Saturday rolls around, you're probably going to be looking at plus 120, plus 125 maybe even. I like Cannonier for probably all the reason these other bettors are coming in and taking Cannonier too. It's just that, like, when you look at Marvin Vittori and what he is going to need to do to win a fight, I think he's going to need a lot of takedowns here, because on the feet, he might pressure and he might even land more punches, but the punches people are going to remember are not the punches thrown by Marvin Vittori in this fight. Marvin Vittori is not going to throw memorable punches in this fight. Jared Cannonier throws memorable punches, right? Like, Jared Cannonier snaps your head back. Jared Cannonier hurts you. I mean, that's why he beat Sean Strickland, right? And I know some people debate that decision, but the reason he comes out of that Sean Strickland fight with a decision is because Sean Strickland might have put volume on him, but Sean Strickland got his head whipped back, and it got his head whipped back more than once. He's got better finishing ability. I also really love that. You know, he went and, you know, toasted Jack Hermanson and Derek Brunson. Vittori's path to victory is a decision. He can win a decision or he can lose this fight. So I think that's a problem too. You know, both guys are only losing to Whitaker and Adesanya. So I'll take the guy who's throwing hard in there. And I think he can keep his feet enough to win this fight.
Yep. Solid pick. I am taking Vittori though. Angry Marvin, Mad Marvin is my pick here. He is way more active landing strikes, almost over a strike a minute. But like you said, doesn't have the power that Cannonier has, but he also has the wrestling in his back pocket. And he's way younger, so I don't think a guy who's gonna be more active and he's 9 years younger, putting that pace on Cannonier for 5 rounds, I like his chances, but this one is pretty much a toss-up, which is why the number is where they're at. So Vittori is my pick. Let's recap and then we will give you our fancy picks. I got Vittori, he's got Cannonier, both have Sarukian, we both have Duncan, we both have Sabatini, we both have Mota, and we both have Salikov. So basically we differ in one fight on the prelims and on the main card. So hopefully we know what we're talking about this week, Dan.
I think we do. Hey, and can I slip that in our edge boost double down play of the day here? Because I know usually we give you a UFC one, but we didn't get a chance to talk about LFA. And I've got a really great LFA for pick for people. So let me tell you guys a little bit about it. So my edge boost double down play of the day is going to go to LFA for a heavyweight fight. I'm going to take Aaron Bush to beat Cameron Kinzig. He's betting off at like plus 120 straight out of the gate. You know, those LFA lines fluctuate a lot. So you want to make sure you get in on it and you get in on it as big as you want to. So you could do that obviously with edge boost, but Aaron Bush, big wrestler. He's fighting Cameron Kinzig, who has shown that he's got good knockout power. Hey, what heavyweight doesn't? But he's also shown he's had some pretty miserable wrestling defense. So I'll take the wrestler with more experience and plus money odds all day here. Aaron Bush, once again, our edge boost double down play of the day. Aaron Bush, plus 120. Edge boost enables you to double your bet with no interest. Go to sportsgambling.com/edge to sign up today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/edge.
All right. Time for our locks, our dogs, our props and our parlays. I think it's my turn to kick it off. I'm having trouble picking a lock. I'll go with a big one. Alessandro Costa -250 over Jimmy Flick. I think I've whiffed on my, at least last week I whiffed on my lock. So let's get back on track with not a very good line, but he's my lock.
Yeah, I like that one. I'm going to take Pat Sabatini.
Yeah, I was thinking that one too.
Yeah, Pat Sabatini's going to mow Almeida down, I think. I don't really see a path to victory here for Almeida. So, give me Pat Sabatini.
All right, and that underdog.
Negative 185.
Yep.
Yeah, we had that on. Okay.
My underdog, Miles Johns, +190 against Jaoni Barcelos. If you haven't listened to our prelim episode, last episode, make sure you go back and listen to that, because we don't really understand why the line is what it's at. So give me Johns.
I like that one, but I'm going to offer a second one too, because while I really do like Miles Johns, I actually feel more comfortable throwing my hat in here with Kyung Ho Kang. I think Kyung Ho Kang is just going to out wrestle the hell out of his opponent, Christian Quinones. I think it's going to look much more one-sided. You're going to see the experienced guy come out with a veteran victory, and at +144, you got to like that.
All right. Kyung Ho Kang now. Time for our prop bets. I'm just checking odds on one. I think I'm going to go with. I'm going to take. Where is it? Marvin Vittori via decision +148. That's the only way he's winning that fight.
Yeah, I agree with you. If you're going to pick Vittori, you might as well go Vittori by decision. He ain't knocking anybody out. He ain't submitting anybody. So I like. If you're going to go that angle, you might as well go prop. For me, I'm going to go with a decision prop as well. I'm going to take Ronnie Lawrence by decision. We talked about him earlier on the prelim episode. I thought a lot of his wins are by decision. If you go back and look, Dan Argueta, tough dude. I don't think he's going to sub Dan Argueta. I think he's going to be better on the feet, but he doesn't really overexert himself. You know, I even mentioned in our prelim breakdown that he's kind of a guy who gets too complacent in there from time to time, and that can be kind of worrisome. So, like, if he's going to be that kind of guy, this is probably going to the card. So his decision prop +120 on a guy who you can only get at, like, -175 on the money line. So nice turnaround there.
All right. Locks, Sabatini and Costa. Dogs, Kang and Johns. Props, Lawrence decision, Vittori decision. Now, time for our Hungry Man Jong Superfan Parlay. Two fight parlay is going to pay us some big, big money. Go ahead.
So I'm going to start with Modestus Bukauskas getting the knockout against Zach Pounga straight out the gate. I think Pounga, especially with his like laboring style and like constantly looking for the clinch and stuff like that, I think there's a good chance he tires himself out against somebody like Bukauskas. And that's if he can manage to get it to the clinch. Because if he can't manage to get it to the clinch, I think there's a good chance he gets knocked out. Because Bukauskas hits hard. Pounga's been knocked out once in his last two fights. And I think that's a bad sign for him. So I'm going to take Bukauskas via KO. I'm also going to go back to my main man on the lock, Pat Sabatini. I'm going to take him by submission. I think he gets Lucas Almeida down, works an arm triangle, gets the sub. That one's, if I didn't mention before, Bukauskas KO +240, Sabatini submission +275. So if you roll those together, you're going to get +1175. And plus you get to root for finishes, which sometimes these things have decisions in them. But yeah, I'm just giving you some decisions to pick from, or some finishes to pick from.
All right, Bukauskas knockout, Sabatini sub +1175. Should be fun. If you want more fancy parlays and stuff, definitely get in the Discord, because on fight night, people will have lots of interesting bets flying in there at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. The Twitter, Gumby will be firing up our account. He's always fired up on it, sending out lovely tweets. It's SGP and MMA. He's also at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. You can get all my MMA writings and stats and breakdowns and pick'em contests in your inbox pretty much every day at moneymma.substack.com. Sign up there. Listen to Gumby without me bothering him. Just Gumby doing what he wants to do. At the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week, Modestus Bukauskas and Miles Johns are his guests, and all good things in the sports gambling sphere is at sportsgamblingpodcast.com. Gumby, go ahead.
I'm David Gumby Vreeland. He's the Italian Dream, Marvin Vittori, or Jeff Fox. It's not Marvin Vittori. He's Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.